Right. One more. I'd like us to give a warm welcome to Terry Murphy. Where are you, Terry? Come on. Terry's been part of the Maidenhead Congregation Church for several years now and used to lead Jubilee Church in Maidenhead and has a big heart for mission. Terry, we've not got time for all the questions, but I think your heart is going to come out anyway. So we might have a little video showing of your time in Sierra Leone. I guess, Terry, when I wanted to speak to you, I wanted to get a feel for what is God doing right now in Africa, particularly, because I know that's where you've got a lot of connections. That is just really exciting for you.
Okay, well, all of my experience is in West Africa, because Africa's a big place. So what you're going to hear is what I see God doing there. And West Africa is the place where a lot of the returning slaves went back to, and hence the name Freetown, the capital of Sierra Leone. Places like Libreville in Gabon, freedom, and various other parts of West Africa are returning slaves. Now, what is happening is that there is a great move of God going on across West Africa. There are many strong churches, although they're still in the minority, quite a lot of, sort of 80% Muslim, 20% Christian. But in Freetown, it's like 80% Christian and 20% Muslim. But the Spirit of God is moving. One of the most exciting things I could probably say to you is that Sierra Leone has a Christian president.
Wow, that's awesome.
Against all the odds, the previous president was a Muslim and was ripping the country off, and they got tired of it, so they decided, Muslims and Christians, let's give a Christian president a try. And he's done a fantastic job. And he also has a young press secretary who is now on the cabinet called Sheka Tarawali. I love that name. He's a really good friend of mine. He worshipped when he was over here as an asylum seeker in a New Frontiers church up in the north of England, found himself a bride, and he's doing a great job as well. So together they pray for the nation. And there are other African nations that are moving into that place where the Christian presence within the government is happening. Churches are growing. I mean, it's not unusual in Freetown to see a church full of 2,000 or 3,000 people. But out in the sticks, out in the rural areas that are still badly affected by the civil war, and within Freetown itself, there are huge numbers of refugees living in terrible, terrible conditions. And so there's that real extreme of God moving, and there being a huge job to do.
Awesome. Now, Terry, last year you told me about a very exciting trip that you were going on, which involved supporting some itinerant speakers who were going to, I can't actually remember where, but some pretty remote...
Gabon.
To Gabon, and not just capital of Gabon. You went to some fairly remote parts,
right,
didn't you?
Yeah.
And there was some exciting stuff happening, wasn't there? Tell us a story or two.
How many of you remember Eric Cowley coming and speaking here a few years back? I mean, Eric is a very dangerous, uncomfortable guy to be a friend of, as are a lot of kind of high-profile evangelists. He is pretty much like an American Reinhard Bonnke, if I can put it like that. And 20 years ago, I went out to Freetown with him. But he invited me to go and be with him on what has been like a 40-year vision of his, to go into a whole nation and do what he calls a national blitz, a gospel blitz of a whole nation. And Eric knows lots of what I would call stadium evangelists, friends of his from around the world. And he gathered them together, said, you're going to put your agendas down, no big names on banners, we're just going to go for Jesus, and we're going to go and try and take a whole nation. So that involved coaching all the national leaders of the churches, showing them how to disciple new believers, getting the churches ready with a whole church planting program. And we went and literally hit the nine major cities of the whole of that nation of Gabon. And somewhere, we don't know, somewhere between 500,000 and 1,000,000 people received the gospel. I was preaching
That's awesome. Yeah, that deserves a round of applause.
Come
definitely.
On.
That's amazing.
I was preaching in the smallest of the venues, because I'm not like a stadium evangelist, but God's pushed me into that position. And to stand before a crowd of about 10,000 people, preach the gospel, and see about a third of them respond, it just makes you weep. And there's a real hunger there to see God move. And so He plans to do it in a number of other nations around the world. He's crazy for God. And he scares the life out of me, but he's good to be around people that scare you, I think.
Awesome. And Terry, it's great that we, through you, were able to be part of that. That is really exciting. Now, Terry, you're youthful in spirit, but you have been around the block a bit when it comes to mission. You've been doing this for many years in quite a few different places. You've preached about it, taught about it, done it, led teams, probably done lots of stuff that I don't even know about. In your years of experience, what do you think is the thing that so often unlocks it for people and makes them say, yes, I want to be part of this, or I want to go, or I want to give my life to this, or some of my life to this? What is it that you think happens?
I mean, all I can really do is say how it works for me, because I think if it works for me, it can work for anyone. And I'm fortunate having a background of having grown up in church the whole of my life. And in a year's time, I should be in the Cliff Richard sort of Tony Blackburn 70 pluses. So I'm very nearly there, and I thank God that I am. But I grew up spending most of my Sundays in church, in the morning, Sunday school in the afternoon, and I learnt some great hymns, and we had some great missionaries in our Baptist church over in Essex. And I caught that vision from visiting missionaries that would come back and tell stories like you've heard. And whenever we had a mission day, we used to sing some great hymns that still make me cry. If I might indulge you a little bit, I just want you to know that the passion of Jesus is for you as well as for me or anybody else. And there's a great hymn that we used to sing which says, I love to tell the story. You know the one? I love to tell the story of unseen things above, of Jesus and his glory, of Jesus and his love. And then there's a verse that goes, I love to tell the story, for some have never heard the message of salvation from God's own holy word. And then it has about, the chorus goes, I love to tell the story, 'twill be my theme in glory, of Jesus and the story of Jesus and his love. And I just want you to get hold of the fact that God loves you so much. I have a personal ambition to pass on to you and everybody I can find who's a believer. Don't go to heaven until you've visited a third world situation. Did you hear that? Don't go to heaven until you've visited a third world situation. Some of you are sitting there thinking, yeah, I'm happy to pray for other people to go, but I really don't think it's for me. Go, because like you've heard, that if you go, and when it only takes 2 weeks to change your life.
Yeah.
It only takes 2 weeks to change your life. You will come back. The church will be different. You will be different. You may never go for 2 years, 5 years, 7 years into world mission, but you will have a heart for it that will cause you to weep and pray and give and be part of God's amazing plan for this world that he created. The other thing I would say, that as a young man, I read every missionary biography I could get my hands on. Hudson Taylor, you've seen quoted. Any of you heard of David Brainerd? David Brainerd, this is back in centuries ago, went out as a young man to America to reach the American Indians, the local, that's politically incorrect, what is it? Native Americans, that's what I'm looking for. And he went out as a 20-year-old, and he wasn't getting anywhere. Nobody was interested, and he was out there for years. And he used to go out early in the morning when it was frosty and lay on the ground and pray till he couldn't get up because he was frozen to the ground. And he died in his late 20s. But out of that, a revival started among the Native Americans that resulted in thousands coming to Christ. There are people who need to go and bury themselves. And there are those of us that need to be alongside them, giving, praying, getting passionate, weeping. Sing the hymns, read the books. You've got an amazing library in Windsor that's got all my old biographies in it. Go and get them and read them. It will change your lives.
Awesome. Terry, that's really cool. I'm going to ask you to do something which you don't know about. I'd like you to dropped the microphone. I would like you to bat that ball out into the congregation here. And guys, if you could bat it around, pass it on. And my prayer is that some of that heart, some of that vision that God planted in you would actually, in a prophetic act, just start to touch people. Because we're not in the third world right now, but God can speak to people. It doesn't even take 2 weeks to change your life. It can be a morning on Sunday. So would you do that, Terry, and pray over us as well? Be ready, everyone. Pass it on. Yes, Jesus. Yeah, would you say a prayer over us, Terry?
Father, thank you for your amazing love. You did love the world so much that you gave your only son, our wonderful Jesus, so that anyone who believes in him might not perish but might have eternal life. Father, as this globe goes around the congregation, Father, touch hearts that will say, yes, I'll go. I'll go and expose myself to mosquitoes and anything else that wants to come at me, but I'll go and I'll allow my life to be changed so that I can come back different, knowing that that will give me a passion for where I am right now and for where you want me to be. Father, call out people right now to serve you in a new way, with a new vision, with a new passion. Father, come by your Holy Spirit. Just fill everyone now with that Holy Spirit of mission in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen. Amen. Terry, thank you so much. Give him a really warm hand, guys. Okay. Guys, this little slot has come to an end. I'm going to hand over. I've been really inspired. I hope you have. I also want to tell you just quickly that there are a few practical ways that people are getting involved in really everyday ways. If anyone recognizes these, there's a Linda Crew doing fundraising for Andy and Val Simcock in Thailand. She also runs a monthly prayer group for them. Karen Weir Cooper from Maidenhead is setting up a global prayer group, which she'd love anyone in River to be part of, just praying into mission, praying into world affairs. That's going to be starting soon. There's lots of ways to get involved and actually figure out what is your mission journey look like. Thank you.
Okay, thanks, Dave. Wasn't that great? Amen. Yeah. I hope some of you are now, are some of you feeling a bit of a tug in your heart? A bit of a tug in your heart? Yes?
Yeah.
Well, not much. Okay, well, I'm definitely feeling a tug in my heart. I'm almost thinking maybe I should go back down to Heathrow and get on the next plane to Africa or Asia. That's why I just think, yeah, just I'm just so alive when I'm overseas and see people's lives changed. Okay, can we have the band back up? And Andy is now going to come and just bring it all together and then help us to respond financially and otherwise. Thanks, Andy.
Fantastic. What a feast. On your chair, you should have a card like this. Could you find that, please? That would be good. And it falls to me in just a few minutes to try and sum up and wrap up some of what we've been hearing this morning, all around the theme of my missionary journey. You've been hearing about the missionary journeys of several people, and some of them actually very much live involved in that missionary journey just now. So I just want to pull out for you just a few things that really seem to come through time and time again from what we've heard this morning. First of all, just like any journey, and I'm sorry if this sounds very cliched, but cliches are cliches normally because they're true. Every journey starts with what? The first step. And time again, you heard from people who have been involved, are involved in various types of mission activity. It was just about taking the first step. And this morning, it is our prayer that all of us, in some way, could take a new step this morning. We've heard that that step, even though it might be small or it might be big, but whatever the size of the step, whatever the size of the step seems to be, that step is about trusting God before all else. We might have a vision, we might have a people group, we might have a country, all of these things in our hearts. But first of all, let's look to God, because that step is about trusting God. No one here, and I just want to say that again, no one, absolutely not a single person in this room has got nothing to bring. We've all got something to bring. And taking that step means bringing what we have and what we are, and God will use that. So trust in God, being prepared to take a step, knowing that all we can do is bring who we are, what we are, then I just want to then echo Terry's words. Go! Yeah. Let's go. Let's not think of the crowds, but let's think of individuals. Remember Richard bumping into that widow, that woman. And the reality is, guys, when we go, just like Richard said, he carries that picture in his head always. When you go, you will see things you can't unsee. And you will carry something in your heart. Terry said, 2 weeks can change your life. It can. It might take you outside of your comfort zone. Mission is about crossing borders and boundaries. But you know what? The Lord God is waiting for me and you there, outside of our comfort zone. And he's already there. And we might think that we're bringing something, and yes, we might be bringing something, but you will be changed and you will be helped. And in some places, just as Terry's been saying, you will go and you will find that God is working in the churches, in those places, amongst the people in a way that we won't have experienced here. Just a few weeks ago, I was asked to speak at a prayer meeting, a Monday evening prayer meeting. It happened to be in Ghana, so there were 1,000 people there. In the interview with Dave and Charlotte, you know, it didn't make sense for you as a young couple with a young baby to go. And Charlotte said something like, well, it made sense because that's what God asked us to do. And God might be speaking to you right now and it doesn't make sense. But you know what? It does make sense if God is asking you to do it. There was a quote at the beginning which Ian put up there, and it said something like this: never tell a young person something can't be done. God could be looking for someone ignorant enough not to know it can't be done. I love that quote, except I just like to take out the word young, personally. Do you agree, Terry? Yeah. Never tell anyone it can't be done. Never tell yourself it can't be done. So we are now going to worship God, and we're going to worship God in a very biblical way. Let me read you one verse that talks about worship. I appeal to you, therefore, brethren, and beg of you, in view of all of the mercies of God, to make a decisive dedication of your bodies, presenting all your members and faculties as a living sacrifice, holy, devoted, consecrated, well-pleasing to God, which is your reasonable, rational, intelligent service and spiritual worship. Worship is bringing all that we are to God. So, while the band's playing, you have a card. And the first offering is the offering of ourselves. And this card gives some suggestions about where your missionary journey might start. Going on a mission trip, visiting a missionary, finding out about a prayer group that's happening in Maidenhead. Exploring going on the Kairos Mission Awareness Course to kind of change your perspectives. Or supporting missionaries financially. I really would encourage all of you to think about making a mark in one or more of those boxes. That is going to be part of our offering this morning, because it's part of bringing ourselves. And secondly, yes, we are going to take up an offering of finance. And I don't want to overplay this. I just want to ask you, please be generous. There are three particular focuses for this missionary offering. The first one is to support the many river-supported projects you saw going around the globe at the beginning of the meeting. Secondly, Dave and Charlotte have a particular need at this point in time for a vehicle, and we would love to be able to help them with that. And thirdly, we want to be able to help all of you and others who would love to go on a missionary trip but actually haven't got the finance, we'd love to set up a bursary to help people with that. So those are the three things: River Projects, Dave and Charlotte, and a bursary. If one of those particularly is on your heart, by all means, make a mark to that effect on the envelope that you put in the bucket. If you're just happy to give it generally for the mission team to apportion as they see fit, then that would also be wonderful. So we're going to take an offering. There are some buckets. There are some envelopes. There are some pens. First of all, we're bringing ourselves. We're saying, here I am. Lord, are you calling me to a first step on this missionary journey? Are you calling me to a next step? I'm here, Lord. And you might put a mark in one of these boxes. Something else might occur to you. Write it on the back. If you're making a dedicated pledge to God this morning of yourself, write it down, put it in the bucket. It will have significance. And secondly, let's bring our finances. So many of those situations that we are working into, people do not have the world's goods. Just put your hand on something that represents resource and finance to you right now and pray. In some places I've been, you'd now be reaching for a chicken. I've been given one a couple of times as an offering. Let's pray, let's worship, let's take a step.